whoever they might be, or to someone else in our family. So each one of us can take these lessons, I hope, to heart. Now, most of us are going to be judged. Because most of you get married, most of us will be judged on how good of a husband or wife you are. Too often, I think we put a far greater emphasis on parental duties. And obviously, being a good parent is very, very important. There's no doubt about it. That's a mark you're going to leave on the world, the way you train your children. But your children you will only have for 18 to 25 years. Your spouse you will have for the rest of your life. And it says in the sacred scriptures, you are no longer two but one. When you marry, you are so closely united to this other person that you are no longer an individual. You are a couple. You are no longer two but one. And what God has joined together, no man can put asunder. But to your children, it is said in Scripture, they will leave their father and mother and cling to a spouse. So, even though sometimes it seems that it's more important what we do for our children, in fact, it seems from the Scriptures that it's much more important how we treat our spouse. And if you think about it too, the way you treat your spouse is going to affect your children, and it's going to make your family either a good, holy family, or otherwise we will have a very unhappy family. Here at the beginning of this new year, we should take each one of us some resolutions as to what we're going to do to better our marriage or to better our lives. You might say right away, as many people do, they'll say to a priest, well, what do you know about it? And really, we priests, we don't know anything about your marriage, about married life. But as a priest, we are impartial observers. And you can certainly go to a priest for marriage counseling, because they do look at your situation from an impartial angle. I'm frankly surprised why so many people reject the religious state. They'll say, well, I want to get married. But actually, the religious life, the clerical state, convent life, the people in those situations are often much, much happier. And I can say that again impartially. I see both. I see the young men and women in the seminaries and the convents, and I see the young people get married, and I can tell you there's really no comparison. As far as happiness goes in this world, the people that have chosen to serve God are much happier. So we should often speak of vocations in our family. We should encourage our children. You might want to encourage your spouse to take upon a religious life. We should, of course, encourage the religious life. And we priests often see couples at two different times in their lives. The two different times in their lives that we see couples at length are when they're preparing to get married and when they're having problems in their marriage. And the single biggest difference, I think, can be summed up in this, that before marriage, the couple, each of them wanted to please the other. They cared about one another, about his or her opinions. They were trying to do their best to think of the other person first. St. Augustine said, friendship finds two people of like mind, or makes them like-minded. And if you are two in one flesh, you have to also be two in one mind and two in one heart. And before marriage, you will see a couple often change their opinions very much. in order to become one mind or one heart with their future spouse. For example, a liberal thinking boy, let's say he went to one of our California universities. Let's imagine he's very liberal-minded in a lot of political ways, but he meets this girl who's a traditional Catholic, who's pro-life, and because of her influence, he completely changes his opinions about things. He becomes very conservative politically and religiously. He changes his whole character, you might say, because of the love that he has for this girl. Now let's imagine a girl who is really not very interested in certain studies, that she really doesn't have much concern for these things, for education. But because her future spouse is so interested in certain studies, she too also studies those things and learns to have an appreciation for the arts or for music or whatever it might be that her future husband is very interested in. And so this love that they have for one another before marriage makes them a better person. They're able to see the world through the eyes of their future spouse. And they, as it is often said, in a good union like this, that they will say, this other person completes me. And there's a lot of truth to that, because where you were weak, the other person is strong, and vice versa. That the couple together help one another become better persons individually. And that makes for a very good marriage, when you balance one another like that. Now, on the other hand, if before marriage you see that the relationship is making you worse, if you see that this other person is just pulling you down, then you should never marry them. That relationship is not of God. It's clear that every good relationship should make you a better person. And when a friendship or a relationship is pulling you away from God, then it is not something that you should continue in. Now, of course, that goes before marriage. Once you're married, you have to make the best of the situation. And you have to do your best to try to correct the problems that you have. Now, when marriage goes bad, is basically, again, can be summed up in this. A marriage goes bad when the couple stops caring about what the other person thinks or what the other person does. And the respect is gone. And once the respect for that spouse is gone, the marriage is not going to be able to be continued. It's not going to be a successful union. Before marriage, you can remember that you probably were in touch with your future spouse 4 to 5 times a day. You would never consider too many times to talk to them, to say something to them, to remind them how much you care about them. But after a few years of marriage, maybe the couple no longer communicates with each other. Sometimes after 10 to 15 years of marriage, they have no interest in one another. They're only together because of the children. And they don't even care what the other person is thinking or doing. That's not a marriage. Most of you will say, of course, I care about my spouse. I care about what he or she thinks or does. But I would ask you on this Sunday of the Holy Family to reflect, do you really care? Husbands, ask yourself, do you respect your wife's opinion? Do you seek her advice before you do something? Are you interested in her interests? And wives, do you try to please your husband? For instance, do you still dress for him? Do you still cook for him in a special way? Is he more important to you than your children? Many wives have it backwards, and they put their spouse behind the children. Do you show deference and respect towards your husband? And we should all ask ourselves, Do I put obstacles to my spouse's wishes and desires? Instead of trying to help one another to accomplish some goal or good, do I throw a wrench in the works? For example, let's imagine the wife is very interested and wants very much to make sure the children go to Catholic school. Perhaps the husband just blows it off and says, we can't afford it. Or, you know, I don't want to make the journey. It's too far to go, or whatever it is. Or they might have to move. Certainly, it's something very important and should be discussed. And the couple has to weigh and consider these things. And they should talk about it with one another. But too often, the person that's not as interested in it just blows it off and says that. You know, and says something like, well, that's impossible, we can't do it. And it can be something much smaller than that. Let's imagine that the husband wants to make sure that the family has dinner together every night and says the rosary together as a family. And the wife just makes it seem like it's impossible. We have too many things going on. The kids are going here and there. We can't get together. And she just makes it sound like it's an impossibility. And it's not, of course it's not. But we often throw a wrench in the works just because we don't want to put ourselves out. We don't want to change anymore. Remember, in a good marriage, you will help one another. You'll make the sacrifices to please the other one. And it's only by that kind of love, the love of self-sacrifice, day after day, month after month, year after year, that your marriage will survive and grow. It's the only way. Our Lord told us himself through St. Paul that a marriage is a reflection of Christ's love for his church. And he lays down his life for his church. Well, then in a marriage, a couple, a husband and a wife, should lay down their life for one another. Should sacrifice themselves for the happiness and the good of the other. In doing so, you will be very blessed, and you will have a very happy marriage. Now, what can we do? Well, first of all, today, I want each one of you to make a resolution, to do something each day, every single day, do something to just please your spouse. It could be something small, it could be something big, but every day you do something just to please your spouse. Another resolution should be that every single day I will show respect to my spouse by communicating always with them. I will talk to them, I will ask them things, I will seek their advice and their opinion, and I will always speak to them in a respectful tone. I will never talk to them like they're one of the children. Now, if you are not married, then you should also make the same resolutions as I said earlier in regards to your parents. Every day to do something just to please your mom and dad, and to show respect to them every single day by communicating with them and always speaking to them in a respectful voice. And if your parents are no longer with you and you are not married, then every single day you can resolve to do something just to please another person, to spread the goodness of God to somebody else, just to do something to please someone, to make someone else happy every single day. And of course, to always speak to others with respect and deference. So all of us can make some sort of resolution on this Feast of the Holy Family that will make our family, or at least ourselves, a better person. If we wish to have a holy family in imitation of Joseph and Mary and Jesus, we must do these things. Any happy, holy family begins with a holy marriage. So let us make these resolutions now. Let us change and to become better towards one another. And if you are struggling and having a lot of problems in your marriage, remember that every state in life, there is a cross. No matter what we do or where we go, by leaving your marriage, you are not going to escape the cross. No matter where you go or what you do, our Lord will send you the cross because he loves you and wishes you to go to heaven. If you wish to follow me, take up your cross daily and follow me. So whether we're married or not, we're going to have suffering and hardships in our life. Our Lord is just sending them to us to make us work for heaven, to remind us that this earth is not our true home. But if you are good to others, to your mom and dad or to your spouse, you'll have a lot of happiness here below. And you'll have some other people in your life to help you along this path of the cross. And not only will they help you, but God will bless you and reward you for the goodness and the love that you show others. Because in doing this to another, you are doing it also for our Lord. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.